Capital 263.
Hello, good people. How are you? Welcome to Career Pod. I'm your host, Cassandra and Paddington.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Welcome to Career Pod once again, your career information portal. This is a weekly podcast where we talk about career decisions, career transitions. We dare you to dream big, but starting now and taking a little step at a time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Today, we're talking about career development, fighting against early child marriages. And today in our studio, we have Chakanetsa Roshizo. Chakanetsa, can you please introduce yourself?
Thank you so much. My name is Chakanetsa Roshizo. I'm the Programs Development Manager at Shamwari Yemwanasikana. We are an organization that looks at how everyone surrounding the girl child should act to end all those issues that affect her.
Okay.
Shangware mwanakomana, or should I say shangware mwanasikana, shangware munuese. Mwanakomana, shangware yedu, murume shangware yedu, amai shangware yedu.
True, yeah.
So tell us, we know that these days, what can I say, at what age really, you find out the statistics are not, you correct me if I'm wrong, you find out that children are getting married at the age of even 9 years old. What exactly, how does it really happen? What exactly would be happening? Is it the mother, the parents, or the society? What brings to that?
Okay, the issue of child marriage is one thing that has been normalized by certain societies. From our understanding as an organization and from statistics from other organizations like UNICEF, the said reality is that, you know, society comes to normalize these issues looking at factors that surround us, factors such as religion, factors such as the other structures that are within the society. For instance, if it is the headman, Sabuku, who is the one who is after the girl, you know, because of that position, it's a position of influence in a community.
Mm-hmm.
They can't question that person. So because of that influence that the person holds, you know, they won't be held accountable at the end of the day. If it is the bishop of a certain church who is saying that I've dreamt and I've been reviewed by the Holy Spirit, I don't know if it is
Holy.
So, you know, such a scenario, in English, no, this girl has to get married because so they will look at the issues of the prospects that are surrounding that. So, you know, the said reality from the key facts that we gathered is that, you know, girls in rural areas are twice likely to become child brides.
Wow, twice.
Twice likely than girls from urban areas. Similarly, girls from the poorest households are twice likely to marry before the age of 18 as girls from the richest households. So okay. You see, the issue of the rural areas being the poorest places.
But maybe to just come in there. Yes. These in the rural areas, the girls in the rural areas, they are twice likely to get married compared to the girls in the urban areas.
Yes.
But is it because of the areas they are in, or basically there's, all right, where I'm coming from is to say they are all at the risk at the same level in that these girls in the rural areas, they end up getting married. But these ones in the urban areas, they continue to have an active sex life, but not necessarily married. Or because they have the resources and, you know, the knowledge, they abort and all these other issues.
Okay, maybe to come in there. The issue with marriage is mm-hmm. that whenever a girl gets pregnant in the rural areas, she's supposed to get married. There are no two ways
finishing
about it.
Finishing class.
You see, unlike in the urban areas we can compromise, you know, we can understand. But in the rural areas, they don't have that time to really understand and say, okay, and those are a mistake. There is nothing called a mistake in the rural areas. It's something that would have happened.
It means you're ready for marriage.
It means you're ready for marriage.
Yeah, but for me, actually, there is nothing like a pregnancy by mistake. I don't know if that exists in your world, but Yeah, maybe. But
no, because, like, for instance, we look at, like, the minor to minor. I was discussing in the afternoon with certain colleagues at work that, you know, minor to minor marriages, if you could call them, mm-hmm. of those mm-hmm. children who are below 18, in certain communities, they don't report them because they say, "Wana maumbwe." You know, what they've done, wana. So it's a mistake. That is the issue. They take it as a mistake because of that circumstance to say, okay, these are still young. They don't know what they were doing. They couldn't consent. Maybe they were experimenting. So, you know, they really didn't think it would end up in a pregnancy. So as I mentioned, the key factor kuti mwana achiita pregnant would now say chiroorwa or chiroora.
Okay.
So, if I may come in, so it means that the statistics you're referring to, that it's in rural areas, it's twice, right, than the urban areas. So it means, right, that a girl going to school, so soon after your form four, if they make it to form four, soon after,
or if they don't make it, yeah, maybe the minimum age that you have seen for girl child getting to be brides, what has been the minimum age that you have seen?
The sad reality is that at the age of 9.
Jeez. That's the thing, grade what?
It's around grade 4.
Grade 3, grade 4, grade 5.
The major factor that is also driving is the issue of menstruation. Mm-hmm. Once a girl starts menstruating, other communities, they view the Guti
Ato ready. She's ready.
She's ready. She's now ripe. Her body is now preparing here to become a mother. So they would say, okay, akuteira mwanoyo, so she can get married. So, you know, because of those other linkages which are surrounding child marriages, you know, it's a sad reality. Also looking at the issues of climate change itself. You know, they go long distances looking for firewood. When they go to look for firewood, a certain man will be, you know, and then at the end of the day, he says, "You are my wife." There are issues of culture as well coming in, issues of religion that I talked about previously. Mm-hmm. So you see, it's a cocktail of factors that are surrounding the girl child.
But then what can we do to try and prevent that? Because we need, especially in a situation like in Zimbabwe, we need everyone to be educated, to have a job or do something with your hands, as long as you're educated, to have that literacy level so that we contribute to the development of the nation. So then what can we do to try and somehow stop this?
Okay. I can refer to the statistics as well and then answer you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about the issue of boys before I even go to that. Boys are also affected. It's not an issue that is affecting girls alone.
But we mostly hear girls.
How are boys affected?
Boys are affected, you know, according to statistics, as I mentioned, with the prevalence among boys, only 1/5 of boys are affected as compared to the girls. So 1/5 of the total number of girls is the one which is affecting boys.
All right.
Because, like, there are regions where they have got issues of sexual initiation, that okay. I understand there are places like Chiredzi where they have got certain sexual initiation practices that they carry out there. We go up north in areas like Mount Darwin and the like, you know, the border areas. Mm-hmm. When they go for gold panning, they don't go to school, most of the young boys there. Yeah. So they would tend to marry early. Once he has got enough money, he will say,
"That gold
I'm
that
ready.
Is panned.
I'm ready to get you know, a wife." So answering your question now, when a person is educated, according to the UN, they said that for girls, a girl who is educated, number one, she's less likely to have as many children as the one
who is not educated.
And they talk of issues of 6 times, that the one who is educated is 6 times more advantaged than the one who is
not educated.
They also talk of opportunities, that when a person is educated, opportunities come towards their way. Because, you know, there's that clear multiplier effect on educating girls. Women who are educated are healthier. They participate more in the formal labor market. They earn more income. They have fewer children. They provide better health care and education to their children as compared to those who marry whilst young. And those with little or no education. where girls have greater educational and economic opportunities, they are more likely to pursue those opportunities that have been reserved for men. Mm-hmm. Because they'll say that, I can be a doctor. I can be that lawyer. I can be an engineer. Mm-hmm. I can become that physician. I can become that person.
That journalist. Who
is, you know, that journalist like you. I can become that president.
Wait, Rosito, before you continue, I want to take you back to number one before I forget. Is it a given that because you're educated, you have less children? Because I've seen people who are educated, dude, they got kids.
the thing is, with education, mm-hmm. you tend to understand, you know, certain factors that contribute to having as many kids as you can have. For instance, according to the Zimbabwe National Family Planning Council of Zimbabwe, they say that it's healthier to have kids before a woman turns 37 because her body will be in the right shape. Mukadza no chembera kazvita after 37. So what I wanted to say is, it is a fact that if you're educated, you get that knowledge. Mm-hmm. Unlike a person who is not educated, because you wouldn't have that platform to really understand what is happening, you know, pertaining the issues of giving birth. You won't even have access maybe to see the gynecologist, amongst other services that are needed. So as for those who are educated, there are just a few cases, you know, of those who would have as many kids as possible. But according to statistics that have been done globally, according to statistics that have been done nationally, the issue of those who are not educated, they are the ones who have got as many children. And also they wouldn't even, you know, consider issues of having their children immunized or vaccinated. Because they would say, mwana anochengetwa naMwari.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. But exactly. I think, you know, bringing all these, you know, these key points into perspective and to say this is what has been happening, like you're saying, the statistics that you've given us. So maybe from the standpoint of Shamaria Mwanasikana, assisting the girl child, empowering them and fighting child marriages, what programs have you done? And maybe have they given you the 100% result you were looking for, or are there still a missing link somewhere, somehow? Maybe in the initiatives that you have done actually.
Okay, first and foremost, you know, whenever we are carrying out an intervention, we don't target with 100% results at the end of the day. What we would look at maybe will be the issue of a certain percentage decrease in the nature of that problem that society is facing.
Mm-hmm. For instance,
that's cool. What we have done, or our programs, the way we are packaging our programs is this. We place girls at the center of our programming. Mm-hmm. When we advocate with the girls. We don't advocate for the girls.
Okay.
Because advocating with the girls, we actually hear their voices. We actually put them, you know, at the forefront, because they will say what they want. So our programming, for instance, we've got what we call the Girls Empowerment Program. Mm-hmm. The Girls Empowerment Program is specifically on advocacy. It's specifically on educating the girls. We train them on their rights, that they should demand their rights, that they should, you know, speak their rights. They should live it, you know, dream their rights. Wherever they are, they should be confident enough to assert their rights, because these are their entitlements. Mm-hmm. They are entitled to their rights. So when they know their rights, their sexual rights, the political rights, the economic, or the rights that are surrounding themselves, they would know that really I can be someone and I do not allow anyone to jeopardize my future. Secondly, we've got a program where we also combine with communities. We call it the Community Development Program. We found out that without communities, girls, they can't, you know, achieve their dreams. So we work with men, work with traditional leaders, work with religious leaders, work with women, so that, you know, we can avail those opportunities within the communities. We like programs that we have, you know, we come up with women's economic empowerment programs. Within these women's economic empowerment programs, they support education of children, because children need to be educated, and that is the platform that we allow them, you know, to have through that community development program. And we also have a program where we have got what we call the Girls Protection and Support Services Program, where we look at those girls whose rights have been violated, and we say that we need to demand those rights back. We need to mitigate all those things that, you know, fight against their, you know, development. And like as you asked, if we ever done any programs to end child marriages, In Bari, we were having a program with the Women's Coalition of Zimbabwe, with the Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association of Zimbabwe, where we were looking at those factors that are pushing, you know, the issue of child marriages in Bari. There were issues of, you know, the pasa-pasa, the popo-popo culture, you know.
What is that?
The pasa, you don't know pasa-pasa?
No.
Oh,
from
come
Utah,
on.
I remember.
Ah, are you serious? You don't know pasa-pasa?
I don't.
Girl, you need some orientation into Harare. But those things have been famous for a number of things. So, yeah. And I didn't know that they also give an increase into child marriages and all these other things. Because in my mind, I think the other day when I was discussing with this young man, we were actually saying, have you seen that? I think, is it the crime rate or the behavior in that in Mbari has changed? Because most of the kids there, they've taken more time to be glued into the arts industry in one way or the other. But now to see that same industry has also been fueling child marriages.
The sad reality is that, you know, whenever something comes in, it has got two sides. You know, there's that what we see at the surface and what is underneath. Uh-huh. The sad reality, as I was indicating, is that, you know, the pasa-pasas, they within those gatherings, there is the issue of drug abuse.
True.
And when drugs are abused, there are also sex races, which are okay there. Where, you know, boys would say, want to see Gutumurume Chai and the Whoopi, you know, they would have sex with a girl. The one who lasts longer will
is
win
the winner.
The girl.
What?
And at the end of the day, yes. Sex races.
Wow.
And, you know,
this is shocking.
It's shocking. And it's happening.
But your wow is like, I need to go and see that.
No.
So, you know, at the end of the day, as I indicated previously, that when a girl falls pregnant, so it has given rise, you know, to girls eloping. Because the marriage you are talking about here is also a union, is still registered. And, you know, according to statistics, the sad reality about statistics is that, you know, 87% of marriages in Zimbabwe are not registered unions. They don't have a certificate. You know, in
what about the traditional one?
It's not recognized as marriage because, you know, you don't have a formal document unless it is registered. It has to be registered to the courts. It is called a registered customary union.
Yeah, there is something called that.
Lobola. You have to go and register Lobola.
You have to register it and get a certificate of marriage.
So isn't it just because people don't know or they don't just care to go and register after they pay Lobola or something?
There is also another issue of, you know, people, they think a marriage is the one where you have to go to church, you know, and have the white wedding.
And invite people.
So they don't regard that, you know, as important. But it's really important, you know, to go and register that marriage. Just like as we are saying, go and register to vote. Go and register your marriage. Because, you know, the statistics are said, you know, to say 87% of marriages, they are unregistered customary unions. So,
I would like to take you back from what you said about involving one of the programs you do about involving the community. I think that's a very good thing because, especially parents, there's need for career parenting, you know, where the parents are educated about the importance of taking their kids to school so that they're educated and in the future have a career so that in turn they help develop their communities. Because if the parents understand that the need of education and what it brings about, then they won't just let their child or be forced into marriage or sell their child for marriage and stuff like that. So I think I really commend you guys for doing that.
Thumbs up.
Thank
you. Yeah.
But thank I think you. All right. I think one of the issues concerning this podcast was to say, we want to see how career development can assist to fight child marriages. Because child marriages, I think there have been a different number of actions that have been taken, as you said, to minimize, you know, the current statistics and how people have been dealing with it. But maybe from your side, because from our side, we are just thinking that we can actually try to see how career development can come in, but can it come in as that higher calling to say, we have gone to the child, we have gone to the school, we have talked to you about, we have given you sex education actually, we have given you the good, the bad and the ugly of child marriages, even to the parents, the guardians and all the other things. But now, how How can we fit in the concept of career development in this whole issue?
Okay. You know, I understand that, you know, career development is that lifelong process of mm-hmm. managing progression in learning and work.
Mm-hmm.
It also looks at the quality. You know, when you're looking at the quality of that education, how qualitative is it so that it shapes the destiny of the learner? So looking at that aspect, we now find out that, you know, if parents mentor their children well, their children won't less likely go into early marriages because they would career focused. When a child is career focused, they won't think, you know, of getting married early, but they will think of advancing their careers and be someone they aim to be or they ought to be in their lives. Because, you know, we look at career development that it significantly determines the nature, as I indicated, and the quality of the individual life, the kind of people they become, the sense of purpose they have, the income at their disposal. It also determines the social and economic contribution they make to the communities and societies which they are part of. Yeah. So, you know, whilst surrounded by career development, they actually see that they are armed enough to fight child marriages and not get married whilst they are still young, you know, to advance their careers, to advance their lives. Because, you know, having a career is one of those important things that we should teach our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, careers have to be a platform that we have to discuss, you know, just like as what parents discuss with their children. What clothes do you want? What shoes do you want? They should discuss, you know, about the careers. Gone are the days when parents would prescribe their children, I want you to be a doctor, I want you to be a lawyer. But,
we
you know,
paid fees for you to become a doctor.
Exactly. So they should, you know, it should become that everyday talk that we should talk about every day. The talk that we should talk about in the combi. The talk that we should talk about, you know, at church. You know, Panituka Sunday school, we should talk about career development because, you know, it gives children that vision to look at, you know, to have those prospects they could try to go towards. Because, you know, without this becoming a common talk, people won't see the importance of having careers in their lives. So it's really important, you know, to come up with this, to become the topical issue that we should discuss even on WhatsApp, that we should discuss, you know, wherever we are, in whatever circle. Even songs, you know, when they sing Zimdanso, gava imba about careers. That is what we want to see. That is what we aim to see. And, you know, because, you know, those are the driving forces that would, you know, shape the young people. And those are the things that young people follow. And, you know, you have to make it attractive.
True.
For the young people to, yes, you know, get in sync with it.
But we have been the most culprits in, you know, impregnating the young girls.
The sad reality is that, you know, men and boys.
It's men, but which age?
You know, it's a very sad reality to come up with the age is of the men who are the main culprits. Why? Because a lot of these cases go unreported, as I indicated earlier. When they go unreported and as society normalizes them, there is that issue of having distorted effects when you go and gather evidence in the communities. In Mbare, where we were having the project that I was talking about, because we were having it in Mbare, we also had it in Chiweshe, we also had it in Norton.
Mm-hmm.
So in those three areas, according to the statistics that we found out is three organizations that I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, the average age of men who are impregnating the girls is around 30.
Uh-huh.
And 30 is a person who is too young. Because, you know, at 30, a person anungu fanana nemazira yao.
So these guys will be going back to the 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 15 and all that.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of that WhatsApp thing that was going around that guys, it was saying guys, babies that were born in 2000 are now 18. So they are ready to have sex. So such things like if you be like girls that are now 16 years or 15 years, no, they are now have developed their big breasts and whatnot, not so they are ready for sex. And just take into WhatsApp and people do that. We normalize the abnormal.
I'm in shock. You know, because some of these statistics now they're actually shocking. But maybe one of the realities that we come across because they're not reported and all that is because maybe for one case that I witnessed was that there was this kid in our hood In my friend's hood, actually. So she's about to write a Form 4, then she gets pregnant. But now the family has to deal with a number of issues here. Should they send this child to the boy's house so that, you know, because they were almost of the same age, then should we now accept Lobola? Should we now report the case? And how are we going to relate with our child? Because the child will say, I love my dude, I love my husband, and you're going to get him arrested. Then, how then? Maybe, have you seen similar issues when you were dealing with child marriages, and how have you gone around these issues?
You know, these are what I even termed previously when I said minor to minor marriages or unions. These often are around misconceptions that society has. As you indicated, you know, they are looking at factors like, he's too young, and she's saying she's in love. How can a young girl who is 10, 12, 11, 12, 13 fall in love?
I think that's the time we get a hard-headed for no apparent reason.
You see, because it's just a matter of hormones which are rushing within the bodies.
Yeah.
It's that moment when you are really starting to develop those secondary features, you know, that are coming through your minds. You know, it's just like, you know, a boy who is having wet dreams, you know, he's starting to feel what women are like. But it doesn't mean that, you know, it's a passport to say, go and open your zipper or drop your skirt at the end of the day. So, you know, with such cases, what we have done, because, you know, there's that limitation to our law. That is the very sad reality. The law that we have in the country, it says that when minors who are less than 16 are engaged in such an act, it's really thrown out of the court.
Why?
They say that because they are still young to make a decision. So at the end of the day, there is no prosecution that happens. No one is arrested.
But then isn't it that that same law again, that terms that, what section is it of the Constitution? I forgot. Where it talks about that a child is deemed an adult at 18 years old. So whatever crimes you commit before then, can be prosecuted against you and be tried in juvenile, whatever term that is.
Okay. As you are indicating that, you know, because, you know, it's not a law, it's not, you know, considered a crime when they are below 16 years of age.
Juvenile delinquency.
You know, so the issue is there's that gap that we have within our laws. They are not in harmony. They are like saying, Rara ineva na musavarore.
Yeah, because actually 16.
Well, 16 can consent.
Yeah, 16 can consent,
but cannot get married.
Cannot get married. You can only get married at 18.
At 18.
So you can have sex at 16, at 17.
So our law is saying that it's perfectly normal for kids to have sex
at 16, but, 17, but yeah, you cannot get married.
But can't get married.
Yes, you can only get married at 18.
Exactly.
So that's the thing I was saying now. If these kids impregnate each other, or even an older guy impregnates this child, and the family says, we cannot accept Lobola now. So actually what they say is, you can go stay with the dude. We will only accept Lobola when you are above age.
So you see, that is the gap that is being created by the disharmony of these laws. Because we were having a certain meeting, you know, with the officials from the police. They were actually saying that they don't preach it to the public, you know, that gap. Because if they do that, if the children become aware of that situation,
then
they will become
be
rampant. You know, we have they will go ballistic.
But how? Maybe another issue is, how have you dealt with issues that they are still minors, but now the girl is pregnant, but they still have to go to school. So what happens? Does the girl drop out of school because she's now pregnant? What does the law say about that now?
The law is saying that girls can go back to school. They can resume
pregnant
their studies even if they fall pregnant,
okay,
unlike in the past when they were both expelled from school. But now they can go back to school. The guy can even continue with his studies. That is what the law is now saying.
Yes.
They are giving second chance.
But I think that point should be very well preached to people, because in our societies, people still think that once a girl gets pregnant and you won't even make it right to your O levels or your A level, whatever it is. You don't make it. But they should know that you can make it. You can go on, right? And still proceed to A level. Proceed to college. Have that career you want.
Even if it's preached, I think you would understand with me, Rizzo, that it's another issue of ego now. Or the identity, the dignity. The child will say, yes, I can go back to school, but I cannot go back with my friends seeing me pregnant as I am.
Transfer then. Go to another school.
That's another issue. Even parents will tell you that I cannot take that burden because you have decided to be a grown-up.
But then, so that means that we'll still be stuck at the same positions. We're not having to develop ourselves as a woman or to see yourself grow and be educated and have that career you once dreamed of being a teacher or a lawyer or whatever. So it means we're still stuck.
Unfortunately, what we have thought of as an organization and what we have implemented in order to keep that issue, we came up with what we call specialized support groups. Mm-hmm. Where we have got these teen mothers, because that is what we came to term them, teen mothers, because, you know, they are mothers, but they are still teenagers. Mm-hmm. And then within these groups, we teach them their various life skills, we teach them, you know, the essential skills of crafts. If they don't want to pursue with their secondary education, you know, as you indicated, the issue of ego, mm-hmm. you know, I can't go back, I can't wear that uniform again.
When I'm pregnant.
But when we teach them the various life skills, they will be engaged in various crafts. They can be engaged maybe in activities like baking, in sewing, you know, those which can enable them to have that income and support their children. Because the other sad reality is that when they get impregnated or when they get in those marriages that we talked about, those unions, mostly they don't last, these unions.
Yeah,
they are just there for just a very short period of time, you know, because they are still young. You know, she still wants to play. She still wants to be with her peers.
She didn't really get to experience that.
And she wants to do my wifely duties. She can do that at the end of the day. So that is one of those issues that, you know, come up. When we have got the discussions with them. So within the support groups, you know, they strengthen each other. And some have actually started to have the various activities that they do. They've got various crafts that they're actually selling for a living and making taking care of their children. Because we found out that it's better for us to teach them to fish than to give them fish. And also looking at the other element of having the parents are saying that we can't have a burden of educating munukazi mukuru. You are now a grown-up woman because you have now experienced sex. You know, the issue of blaming the victim is still rampant amongst our societies. Sometimes, mskana atonyeperwa. You know, as men, we lure these girls, you know, in a various, in a number of ways. We lie to them a lot and we promise them the world.
No, but actually, I would want to say that even these girls, most of them trap us. In one way or the other. Even if this we lie, yes, I cannot deny that. But it's very clear that we also have to preach the word to the guys. I think we should have Shamare Wadakoma to also say that, please be careful of these girls. They will trick you.
Okay, what we do with men, we have got what we call men and boys forums that we also have. As I indicated, that in our programming, we don't leave anyone behind. Mm-hmm. We have got everyone in our programming. And within these men's and boys forums, we try to educate the men, you know, to be also on the lookout. Because we are not just like saying, Kuti, the girl is the victim at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, they are, as I indicated, that child marriages also affect the boys, at the end of the day. Because, you know, the various backgrounds that people come from would influence their behavior. So it's not every girl who is coming from a disadvantaged background. Others who come from the other side of town, you know, they have certain experiences. They also affect, you know, the boys at the other side of the town. Yeah. But I'm not saying that we condone such behavior. We don't condone such behavior as an organization. What we want to see at the end of the day is that community that is living in harmony, that community that is having less cases, you know, of these child marriages, less cases of abuse, but a community that is developed enough to walk in the fullness of its potential.
Yeah, maybe before you give us the conclusion, I wanted to maybe part of the conclusion actually to say how from the time you started empowering the girl child to date now, how has been your success rate and how has been, you know, the level of effort in decreasing the, you know, the wave
statistics.
Yema child marriages?
I should say generally in our programming, I would put them categorically. Okay. As far as schools, we have reached to more than 400 schools. And within these 400 schools, we have managed to train children to become child rights ambassadors. And these children, there are more than 20,000. With a reach of nearly 400,000 children in total that we have impacted within the work that we do. These child rights ambassadors are the ones who now go and train their peers to have that, you know, a behavior which we believe shows that they are empowered. You know, and within the communities that we work in, we also invited, initially we started working in Mashonaland East and Arab metropolitan provinces, but we invited also to work in Mashonaland West. We were also invited to work in Manicaland. We were also invited to work in Bulawayo metropolitan province because of that impact of the work that we are doing. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, we are now covering 5 provinces out of 10 as a result of our work. And according to the decrease in the number of cases, I should point out something before I go to the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that the reportage of cases does not indicate that we have got a problem, you know, that the problem is rife. Sometimes people don't report because they don't really trust the systems that are there in place.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make that clarity,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as reportage is concerned. From the cases that we have held, so far we have dealt with more than 300 cases of various forms of abuse, including child marriage itself, rape, issues to do with trafficking, amongst a host of cases. And within these cases that we have dealt with, we don't deal with them alone. We work with other partners. You know, the partners just like Justice for Children, partners like Childline, partners like UNICEF, you know, those partners which work around children, Musasa as well, mm-hmm. For safe shelters, the government ministries that are relevant, the police, the hospitals, the courts. And out of the 300 cases that we have held, I should say around 270 of those cases, we successfully held them to an extent that we provided the girl counseling, they were provided safe shelters, they were provided with the comprehensive list of services. The other unfortunate 30 cases are the ones which would have various factors, like for instance, the client or the girl won't fully represent her facts in court. Because, you know, for her to win a case in court, she has to fully represent
herself.
Effects,
so,
yeah. And they have to be consistent. She doesn't have to say one word and the other. So these were some of those, you know, hiccups that we have had with the challenges that we have. Some of the girls were not even confident enough, you know, to express themselves that have really gone through this. Some would, you know, go to that extent of opposing themselves. No, they will be saying, okay, it has happened because he forced me. At the end of the day, she will be saying, no, I really liked it. So when the person is opposing him or herself, at the end of the day, we tend, you know, to lose those cases. And we tend to lose, they tend to lose that help that they were supposed to get at the end of the day. So these are some of, you know, the challenges that we have had. So as you can see, out of 300, 270 out of 300, at least we've done our part.
Shamari Eskana is an A student. But I think for maybe my last words, actually,
mm-hmm.
we believe maybe as an organization, as Career Zimbabwe, through the Career Podcast that we are bringing, that it's the girl child has received sex education and they continue to receive sex education. That's commendable. That's huge. That's big. We need it. We cannot go without it. But for us, we go an extra mile to say there's a higher calling. There's something else that we need. You know, when you take someone from the streets and they've been feeding themselves from the streets, you give them another source of income. You give them something to look up to so that they don't go back to the streets. And in the same manner, that's how we view career development in the space on child marriages. To say, if we do it successfully, giving sex education, doing this, doing that, child rights ambassadors doing this, then we need them to look forward to a career. We need the students to look forward to the career. We need the parents to look forward to their child succeeding in a particular career. Then from that standpoint, you know, from that vintage point, they've actually shifted from that idea of marrying off a child and making sure that they just get the immediate money. And even the student or the child to actually see that, no, there's something better ahead than me risking everything, you know, at this particular time. So I think what we need to do, Cassandra,
mm-hmm.
after this podcast, we have to go to Shamwari Manaskana, go to those same kids and give them the higher
quality career development. Yeah, I was about to say that. Great yeah. minds think alike.
So, over to you.
Okay, so, Rushito, any last words?
Okay, I just have a few last words to say that, you know...
Sorry, Paddington, sorry. I know you want us to continue and go on forever, but hey.
Okay, thank you, Cassandra. You know, my last words are that, you know, parents, we should be there to support our children all the way. We should develop them in all means that we have to do than to lure them to these predators who want to marry them off whilst they are still young. We need to give our children books, not husbands. We should give our children their dreams. They should fully, you know, realize their dreams. No one was ever rich from marrying off their children. And go to Bill Gates, go to Strive Masiwa, go to any other business person. They never became rich by marrying off their children. Thank you so much, Cassandra.
Wow, from that, I cannot even add another single word. So, guys, thank you for listening and hope you keep on listening. This program was brought to you by Career Zimbabwe in partnership with Capital 263, where you're free to say it and free to do it. And, guys, please follow our social media platforms on Twitter, Facebook, and our website, careerzimbabwe.www. Pardon, what's the website?
www.careerzim.co.zw.
That's what I was figuring out. Yeah, follow us on our social platforms to meet next time, guys. Thank you for listening and keep on listening. Thank you, guys. And now,
Capital 263